For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does it look like for the earth to be full of the knowledge of God? Once upon a time, there was a world created by God, created out of the immense overflow of God's love. It was a world made of breath, a world teeming with life, and a world where creatures could walk together with their Creator, and all was good. But there were creatures in this world who grew dissatisfied, for whom the gift of the world didn't seem to be enough. Creatures who desired power and control. Humanity turned from Creator God and decided that they knew better and that they did not need God anymore. This is the story of the world and our predicament. It's the beginning of the story which describes God's intention for the world as a place of gift and a place of plenty, and a situation where all creation relates well to each other and to God. But the story of humanity's movement away from God, the story of people's desire for power and control, and the impact that that has had on the world is a story which is repeated again and again throughout history. It's a constant theme which runs through the Old Testament, where we see again and again God's reaching out to people, people turning away from God, and the consequences of that decision and the resulting behavior. We have the Israelites walking with God for a while, then turning away and getting into trouble, ending up in exile. And then God reaches out and rescues, and the people return to God for a while. But as this cycle is repeated, a greater picture is built of an even greater hope. What starts off as the rescue and return of Israel as a nation becomes a story about the rescue and return of the whole world to God. And we see this in our passage from the prophet Isaiah. In the previous chapters to this, Isaiah has been speaking about the rescue of the Israelites from the Assyrians, who were the superpower at that time and who had invaded them. But then the narrative turns to that bigger story, the story of a Messiah figure who will come and be a banner for the peoples. This is the one on whom the Spirit of God rests and who is full of wisdom and understanding. He's the one who will judge the world, who will come and put things right. The imaginative picture that we are given of what the world put right looks like is more amazing than our wildest dreams. The description of a world where natural enemies are found together as friends, where all the normal power struggles and dangerous dynamics which are at work in the world just don't operate anymore. The wolf lives with the lamb. A young child can reach into a viper's nest without any fear of harm. It's an idyllic world where they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This Messiah figure is described as a branch, a shoot coming from the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the name of King David's father, and so the description is one which speaks of the Messiah figure being a descendant of David, Israel's greatest king. And then we fast forward a few generations and we come to a rather wild man proclaiming a message about this coming Messiah, the drawing near of the coming of God and our need to prepare. Repent, said John the Baptist, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's how he announced the presence of Jesus in the world, the presence of the Messiah figure who was prophesied to come, who would judge the world, and the one who would come and set things right again. Repent, which is a word which means turn around or come back. Another call for people who have drifted away from God to once again return to him. The message was a message of hope, but also a message of warning. A warning for those who had drifted far from God. A warning particularly for those puffed up with self-importance and religion. Those who claimed to be in God's inner circle, but whose lives did not reflect any such relationship with God. The people he referred to as brood of vipers. Now, in those days, people still lived in the hope that the Messiah would come and rout the new superpower who had invaded their land. That they thought that Jesus was there to fight with them and rescue them from the Romans, their earthly oppressors. But as Jesus demonstrated, God's Messiah was not quite what they had expected, and rescue looked somewhat different. Once upon a time, God reached out to the world again, this time by stepping right into it. God became human and lived a life of flesh and blood. Jesus came and showed God's face to the world. He came and taught God's way to the world. He revealed the extent of God's love for all the world as he poured himself out even to the point of death. Though death did not have the final word, death could not possibly hope to hold God captive. Jesus rising to new life holds the promise of that new life for the whole world. Though we haven't yet reached the stage where the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Our world is not yet a world where natural enemies have become friends and a world devoid of dangers. That's still a future we hope for and look forward to. But for now, the story continues. And in Advent, we remind ourselves again of this story. As John the Baptist called people to return to God once more, so we are called to return to God again. As John told people to get ready for the one who would come and judge and make things right again, we are also invited to get ready. We take this season as a time to reflect on ourselves, our lives, our world, and ask again, am I walking with God, or have I wandered away? Have I become so full of myself and of my life and the life that I'm leading that I've forgotten this great story of which I am a part? Have I forgotten to receive the world as gift? A gift which is to be cherished, a gift which is to be shared. Am I longing for a world made new, the world made good? And is my living bringing us closer to this world or further away from it? Have I neglected to be in awe of the God who created all things, yet whispers to me in my heart that I am loved? Am I treating others as those who are also beloved and treasured by God? What is growing in my life? And am I producing that fruit? Is there evidence in me and in my living that I am in the company of God, that I am being transformed by the presence of God's Spirit within me. So let's take a breath now. Let's take a moment to turn our attention to God with us. We're going to have a few moments of as quiet as we can manage. And in that time, can I encourage you to be honest with God about where you are? Consider perhaps what your posture towards God is. Have you turned away a bit? Are you leaning forward and longing to know God? Are you walking alongside with God? What is your posture towards God? And what is the pattern in your life? What is that rhythm? What are you doing? Where are you going? Are there things which perhaps need to be a bit different?